The reading is from Paul's letter to the Colossians, starting at chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Father, thank you for your word. Your word that is living and active. And thank you for the gift of your spirit, which enables us to hear your word and to live your word. We pray that you would speak to us now by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing in our series on kingdom lifestyle. And this passage, which Rowena just read to us, just came afresh to me as I read a book that I was given. You may have read it. It's called Hidden in Christ, Living as God's Beloved. And one of the things that the book challenges us to do, or challenged me to do, is to learn that passage off by heart, which I began in Pakistan. And that's really where I want to begin our talk this morning on kingdom lifestyle. So as some of you may know, Jeremy and I have just come back recently from Pakistan. And before we went, I had to get some things for Andrea, for the children out there. So off I went up to mother care. And the girl in mother care was very helpful. And she said, "Oh, who are these for?" And I said, "Oh, they're for my grandchildren. I'm going off to visit them." "Oh," she said, "where do they live?" And I said, "Oh, in Pakistan." I said, "Oh," she said, "how wonderful," she said. She said, "I'll think of you lying on the beach." while I'm doing my exams. She was obviously just the Saturday girl up there. Well, I hope that geography wasn't one of her exams. Because actually, that was not. And that is not like Pakistan. This is a bit more like it. I don't know whether you can see that picture, but there are two huge no parking signs surrounded by parked mopeds. Pakistan, much of the towns that we've seen are crowded, they're busy. They're, for us who don't speak the language, they're really confusing. Now, we were actually staying in Islamabad, and it's a modern city. It was laid out on a grid system, and this is a new road along which we went, but this is in the quiet period. But, of course, it's not all new. There are old markets and bazaars. It's the bazaar where their weekly shop, Matthew goes out to do their weekly shop to get their fruit and vegetables. And also, as you travel around Islamabad, there is masses and masses of security. So that you're often going through these sort of chicanes with great concrete blocks, with police looking inside the car and peering at you, and you may instantly be stopped. So you have to slow down anyway, so, you know, the eight lanes of traffic all of a sudden sort of come to a grinding halt and wiggle through this chicane. And it can be quite tense as they look and peer at you inside the car. And certainly we had some times when we were stopped and it was really challenging. One of the things they like to do occasionally as a treat to relieve some of the challenges in Pakistan is to go to a hotel. Sam calls it the breakfast hotel because you can go in and they have a help-yourself breakfast, which isn't very expensive, and it's really nice. But I think you have to go through three or four different lots of security to get into the hotel. The car bonnet goes up, they put things underneath the wheels, they look at it, they look at you, and that happens not just in hotels, but other places too. So you're always carrying your identity with you. But there's also some familiar stuff. And I haven't got a photograph of myself out there, but you can see those ladies in their dress. That was what I wore the whole time I was there, for reasons I'll explain a little bit later. But there are still lots and lots of challenging situations. As you can see, you can't go out for a walk. When you drop the children at school, there's razor wire all round it, because, of course, schools are vulnerable to attack. If you, when you go and collect the children, you drive up in your car, you don't get out of your car, and through these great solid metal gates, a security guard peeps out, recognises you, or the parent, fishes out your child, holds them and puts them in your car one at a time. Can you imagine how long that would take in Oakley? It is a smaller school, but it does take time. But it's all to do with security. When the children get into the car, there's no seatbelt rules, apart from the driver and the front seat passenger must wear a seatbelt. So there were seven of us in a small saloon car. A child on the knee in the front, a child on the knee in the back, or maybe two children bouncing around in the boot. So for us, it's a completely different mindset, a completely different way of life. But Pakistan is also exceptionally beautiful. This was one of the places we went to on our last visit. It's very, very cold up there. There's no proper road surface. We were actually stopped by police from going further up the road because there had been an incident. And when we stayed near this place, and we actually visited this high lake in the mountains, which was absolutely gorgeous, the drive up there was really hairy. No safety barriers on these narrow mountain roads where you meet another car and you almost sort of hang over the edge to get up. You know, my stomach was in my mouth the whole time. And But it's really beautiful. But it's cold. And the electricity, well, there was none up there. And even in Islamabad, it goes off every hour. So you have an hour of electricity and then an hour without. And one morning we got up, there was no electricity, so no breakfast, no tea. So you get used to that. And where we stayed, there were guards with Kalashnikovs outside our rooms the whole time. You can never drink water from the tap because you might be ill. You can't even put your toothbrush under, and I forgot one day and put my toothbrush under. And, you know, you can't do that. So it's a very, very different lifestyle. So the question is, why ever would you want to go there and live that lifestyle? And people have said to us who don't know our situation, well, why would you want to go to Pakistan for a holiday? You know, why don't you go to Switzerland or Europe or America where, you know, it's much easier? Well, that's the reason we go. And if I had to sum it up in one word, it would be that. Because actually, they love us. We love them. We want to be with them. And that's the choice we exercise, to go and live that lifestyle, which isn't easy, isn't really a holiday, but it's a choice we exercise out of love. It's out of love for them and out of love for what they're doing that we would dress, that I dress like that, because they, as they live there, are loving more and more the people and discovering all sorts of ways in which God is working and leading them on into different things. And so we live that lifestyle out of love and out of respect that comes out of love. So a kingdom lifestyle foundation is God's love for us. In Ephesians, Paul says this: even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So living that kingdom lifestyle must come out of love. The foundation must be love. It's not a question of I ought, I should, I must. It's out of love. So let's look at this passage from Colossians, and in particular the first little bit. Paul says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, and we've looked at that before and seen how our position when we come to Christ, when we become a believer, is different. And that position is unchangeable. To know that nothing can remove me from that position is really important. To know that nothing can separate me from Christ, that not even death can remove me from that place. Paul says, since you have been raised, it's a one-off thing that's happened when we become a believer. We are raised with Christ. That is where we are, and nothing can change that. And the kingdom lifestyle is about living from that position day by day. Because when we do live from that position, life is different. Paul goes on, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Now, a long time ago, I heard, and you may have heard the saying, you know, it's no good being too heavenly minded because then you're no earthly use. I don't know whether anybody's heard that. I think that's a real distortion of the truth now. Because actually, the more heavenly minded we are, as Paul says, the more we think about the things of heaven, the more use we are going to be on earth. And the thing is, what voice am I choosing to listen to? Am I going to choose to listen, seated in the heavenly realms, to God's voice? Am I going to think about the things of heaven and then come down to earth? Or am I going to be so immersed in earthly stuff that I can't think about the things of heaven? Because when we choose to live from a heavenly perspective, things are different. Because whatever situation we face, we can think about these things. We can remember these heavenly things. God's promise to provide what we need. God's unchanging love and mercy. God's promise of his presence and power. And God's desire to bless and encourage us. That's what Paul is saying. Think about those things. Don't get swamped by the challenges, and there are challenges in this life. Don't get swamped by them, but actually think, actually, I can cope with that because Christ is with me. Christ is in me, and God wants to bless and encourage me. Paul goes on in Corinthians, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's always asking the question, is this true? Is this something I can do? Is this something God can work through me? How should I react to this situation? Am I actually thinking and living from a heavenly perspective? Because he goes on, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And I was really helped by the little illustration that came out of the book as the author tried to think, well, what does it mean to say that my life is hidden with Christ in God? Because Paul uses, through his epistles, the text, the words in Christ, over 80 times. It's really important to him that believers understand that they are in Christ and Christ is in them. And he uses the illustration of the little Russian dolls. I don't know whether you've got a Russian doll or seen it, but you may know that inside are more and more dolls. And I have found that really helpful. And in fact, as I was reading this in Pakistan and facing some really tense moments in the car, when the driving was a bit hairy and the traffic was a bit pressurising, and at one stage somebody got really angry with us and just sat on their horn, and it was, when you've got all the children bouncing around in the car, it's a bit frightening. And when we went through security and they said, well, what right have you got to go? Where's your pass? And of course we didn't have passes, and Matthew and Andrea had to explain, well, they're coming to church with us, and that's why they're here. It's my parents, is it? So there were challenges. But to remember this Russian doll and to know that inside me is Christ. Hidden in me is Christ. And I found that really, really encouraging. Because what God is saying through Paul here is... Whoops. Let's do it again. I am safe. I am secure. I am significant. And I am strong because Christ lives in me. But that also gives me the inspiration to shape my life around him. And to be the right shape so that I can, at all times, know Christ is in me. At the same time that Jesus is fully committed to me. That he loves me to bits. He delights in me. He wants to live in me. He wants to live in you. That is his desire because he loves you. And of course, we know the presence of Jesus by the presence of his Holy Spirit, which came at Pentecost. Out of God's love, he came. Jesus said, you will be filled with power when the Spirit comes upon you. And the apostles, the disciples, who were very ordinary people, were empowered by the Spirit to know Christ's presence, to know that he was in them, and to be empowered to carry out Jesus' ministry. And Paul is saying here in Colossians, it's not living by a set of rules. In fact, he says that at the end of chapter 2. Don't live your life by rules, but actually understand how much God loves you and live with that love within you so that things can be changed. Living supernaturally, as the first disciples did, the first apostles did, because Christ lived in them. And it's Christ in us that empowers us to live that kingdom lifestyle, to live with that kingdom mindset. As Jeremy said last week in his first talk on kingdom lifestyle, living, relying on God's power within us and doing the things he calls us to do. Because God didn't come just to make bad people good. He came to make natural people supernatural. And Paul goes on in verse 10, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him, to become more and more shaped like him so that he can express himself through us. So let me read again and just think about that. In the light of Christ being in us, think about what Paul goes on to say. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of the world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behaviour, slander and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. And whoever we are, wherever you're from, whatever your background, when you open your life to Jesus, he raises you to a new life and comes to live within you. So getting rid of all the stuff that isn't the Jesus stuff in us, so that we can be shaped more like him and become more like him. So there's the getting rid of stuff, but there's also the putting on of new stuff. Because Paul goes on, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, again, the foundation of love, clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. So there's the taking off of the stuff that isn't the Jesus stuff. And there's putting on the new stuff to become more and more like the Christ who is within us. And at the end he says, help each other, support each other. Do it together. So we have small groups. We have times like worship all together, but we have small groups where we can actually learn how to grow more like Jesus amongst each other. It's about living the kingdom lifestyle. It's about loving others. And Paul says at the end, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So we are to become more and more like Jesus, to be able to represent him more and more, to view people outside who aren't yet believers as people whom God desperately loves. And how are they going to know his love if we don't show it? And so it's Christ in us so that we can be more and more Christ-like and representing Christ to others. So let's look at the truths that come out of this passage. Just take a moment to look at all those different things. And let's together say these as we sit. Let's just say these together. I have been raised with Christ. I have a new nature. Christ lives in me. God has chosen me to be holy. When I repent, God forgives me. I am a representative of Jesus. Kingdom lifestyle. How do we live that different lifestyle, that new lifestyle? The foundation is knowing how inestimably precious you are to God and how much he loves you and delights in you. The foundation that makes it possible to live that lifestyle is to know God's love. And out of that is to practice his presence moment by moment. Sitting in that car at one of the challenging security points we were at, I was sitting there with a child on my knee saying, thank you, God, that actually I'm not alone. You are with me. You're sitting here beside me. The reality is you are in me and I can manage this situation. I don't need to be fearful because actually you are here. And it was really, really important to me, I discovered, to do that. To practice his presence moment by moment. To be recognize that we're seated in the heavenly realms. We have that close relationship with the Father and can say, how would you react here? What would you do? What would you say? How can I help this person? What should I say to them? What should I not say to them? And it's about responding to Jesus' love, to God's love, living and loving like him, and bringing heaven to earth. Let's just be quiet for a moment. Let's think how our lives might be different moment by moment. Our everyday lives on earth, at home, doing stuff with the family, at work, engaging with other people who don't know Jesus and behave in a challenging way towards us. How would life be different if at every moment we knew Christ in us? if we knew that at every moment God's love can empower us to do all he calls us to do, that we're never, ever alone. If we're constantly encountering Jesus, and enabling others to encounter Jesus in us. To recognize that we represent Jesus wherever we go. To see others through the eyes of Jesus. To love them as he does. And to be willing to demonstrate that love to them. And leave the changing of their lives to Jesus as they discover his love. And as they open themselves to his Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you delight in us. So much so that you want to live in us and for us to know you. Within us. Thank you for how that changes things and enables us to do, as Paul says, more than we can imagine. We pray that we might live as representatives of you in our communities, in our homes, our families, wherever we are. That we might live that kingdom lifestyle. That your kingdom might be grown. With that wonderful foundation of your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.